If you hit a speed up to somebody that is off pace, that is slower than what they're expecting, there's a really good chance they're going to miss that volley long. What they're probably going to do here at the net is they're going to be leaning in and they're going to be extra ready for it, and all their weight's going to be coming forward, potentially below the ball. Think about it this way. If I were speeding it up at you and you know that the ball is coming to your chest, you're ready to crush the ball, and instead of me hitting it very hard, I hit it at 70% pace, then you're going to be more on the ball. You're going to be more ready for it than you even should be, if that makes sense. And then you're going to be leaning forward a little bit more while you make contact with the ball, which is what we talked about in the beginning, is a key indicator that somebody's going to miss that volley long. Okay, so we're back with another episode of my show. We're going to get right into it. There's a few topics. We're going to talk about pickle roll surface. We just played a pro tournament on pickle roll. There's going to be several pickle roll tournaments this year. We're going to talk about paddles, a couple different things that we're learning about paddles, and maybe just asking you guys what you think about certain things as it relates to paddles, and then getting out of the way of out balls. So getting out of the way of out balls specifically when you're in the middle of a hands battle. So instead of just, you see the person's about to hit a hard shot, and you get out of the way, actually being in the middle of a hands battle and knowing the cues of when to get out of the way of that ball. So we'll talk about that one first, because that's probably what people will care about the most, I would imagine. And one of the things that I learned is obviously it's tough to get out of the way of balls when you're in the middle of a hands battle. And I am somebody who doesn't always get out of the way of those shots, so I get it. But one thing that I've learned is if you see that somebody's reaching forward a little bit more during a hands battle, so if they're kind of leaning forward about to hit the ball and you see their body kind of collapse like this, then there's a really good chance they're going to miss that ball out because their body weight is all going downward. And the more that your body weight goes downward, the more likely the ball is to go up. So in the same way, like if you were hitting a drive and you were standing up completely straight hitting a drive, all your weight was above the ball, you'd be more likely to hit the ball in the net. And if you were going to be completely low, if you were, you know, going to be in a full squat position hitting a drive, you'd be more likely to send that drive higher. You'd be able to get under the ball. It's kind of the same reason. It's just the concept of leverage. It's the same reason why in football, you know, the lower man wins. If two people will be coming at each other, the lower person will probably be able to tackle the person that is higher. Or at least that's what they say. So for the same reason, if you see somebody, all of their weight is below the ball, they're kind of shrugging downward and they're reaching forward, then there's a pretty good chance that they'll miss that ball long. So that was something for me to really notice, is not just being aware of the ball when you're in the middle of a hands battle, but being aware of the other person. So if the other person is leaning back, then they might be able to get that ball. You know, they're probably not going to have as much pace on the ball, right? If you see all of their body weight is going backward and they're kind of leaning back and they're kind of caught by surprise, then there's a less chance, I would say, that they'll miss that ball out. Of course, you've got to factor in what side they're on and things like that. But if all their weight is moving this way, then they're probably not going to have as much power on the ball because they're not getting their full body weight into the ball. So for that reason, I would say there's a pretty good chance that they're not going to miss that one out. But if they're really on it and they're leaning forward, then there is a good chance that they'll miss that ball out. So that's one of the things that I would say to try to be aware of in those situations, because it matters. And the other thing I would say is you can watch the leg engagement of the player. So, and just watch their legs in general. If their legs are kind of falling back off of the line, or if they have taken a couple steps back off of the line, then there is a lower likelihood that they'll miss that ball out because they're simply a little bit farther back. So that's another thing. And a lot of people will take steps off the line. Not everybody is leaning in and really hugging the kitchen line, especially as you go down in level. Players will be back off the line a little more commonly. So if somebody's back off the line like that, there is a less chance that they'll miss that ball out. And then if you see that their elbow comes behind their body on their forehand swing, there is a pretty good chance that they're going to sail that one long and hit that one a little bit harder and potentially miss that one out. So the reason for that is if they're taking that big swing with their elbow coming behind them like that, then I think it, well, it's a couple of different things. But if they're taking that big swing like that, which is also not really necessary. I mean, when I hit a forehand counter, I'm trying to keep my elbow in, keep my elbow in front, just try to get it down as much as possible. But if somebody's got that big forehand swing, kind of like a tennis drive, which is something that they will do on a forehand volley every now and again, then that could be an indicator that the ball's going to go out. Because overswinging on forehand counters is, I think, one of the most common causes of people missing the ball out. Another main indicator of why somebody might miss the ball out in pickleball is if they're taking a big swing from below the height of the net. So if they're taking a big swing from below the height of the net, that's definitely an indicator that they could be missing that ball out. And that happens a lot in hands battles. So a lot of the times in hands battles, for example, let's say if you're, you know, just dinking with somebody and then you hit a dink that's pretty low and it looks good, they're probably not going to take a huge swing and try to hit a speed up. If they know how to play the game, they're not going to do that. But if you're in the middle of a hands battle and somebody's crushing the ball at you, and then you're down here below the height of the net, you might be enticed to just keep swinging. Because when people get into these hands battles, they really just, a lot of the times, will want to keep swinging in those situations and not have the feel for, okay, I've got to reset this ball because it's down below the height of my knees. And I've done this too. If I'm in the middle of a hands battle, I will not always reset. I'll just kind of keep going. So that's a good way to get people. If you see somebody swinging from below the height of the net, you should be ready to just leave the ball. And I think the best way to leave the ball is to just turn your shoulders sideways and try to take a step back instead of just taking a step back and doing this. Because if you just take a step back and do this, you're probably still not going to be able to get out of the way of that ball. If you do this, it's easier to get out of the way. So that was a big thing for me too in my learning of this pickleball game. So those are the main things as it relates to getting out of the way of the ball. Another thing is if you hit a speed up to somebody that is off pace. So this is a little more of an advanced tip, but if you hit a speed up to somebody that is slower than what they're expecting, there's a really good chance they're going to miss that volley long. And this is something that works on me sometimes too. So not that I should be telling you guys what works on me, but if you hit a speed up that's a little bit softer, then what they're probably going to do here at the net is they're going to be leaning in and they're going to be extra ready for it. And all their weight's going to be coming forward, potentially below the ball, which is what we talked about in the beginning, is a key indicator that somebody's going to miss that volley long. So think about it this way. If I were speeding it up at you and you know that the ball is coming to your chest, you're ready to crush the ball, and instead of me hitting it very hard, I hit it at 70% pace, then you're going to be more on the ball. You're going to be more ready for it than you even should be, if that makes sense. And then you're going to be leaning forward a little bit more while you make contact with the ball, which is a key cause of people missing volleys long.
Hey guys, James Ignatowicz here. Just want to tell you about the new Selkirk 008. I've been loving the paddle. It's got the new pure foam technology. It's got a ton of grit, ton of pop. I feel like the control is great also, and it's coming in the different shapes. You can get it in the Tour shape, you can get it in the Epic shape or the Invicta shape. So you'll have all the options you need. Definitely give the 008 a try because I think it's something that you will not want to miss.
Okay, so we played on Pickle Roll here at the North Carolina Open. It was a pro tournament, and we played on Pickle Roll. And there was, you know, it's definitely something that plays a little differently. It's something that I think is pretty efficient to play on, right? If you've got a tennis court, you can just roll Pickle Roll out there, and the next thing you know, you've got a pickleball court. And I think it's something that has a ton of potential. Definitely has a ton of potential because if you have tennis courts that are being resurfaced and taken up by pickleball courts all the time, you know, actually doing the whole process of resurfacing the pickleball court, that takes time and money. But if you're able to just roll a Pickle Roll surface out there, you know, put a net up, then it becomes a much easier process. With that being said, though, it definitely does play a little bit differently. I think that slice dinks and slice balls on this Pickle Roll surface that people are now implementing in the pro game, which I'm not really sure if the pros should be playing on Pickle Roll just yet. I think that Pickle Roll is maybe not ready for the pro game in a lot of aspects. I think, you know, for example, we played Las Vegas tournament last year on Pickle Roll, and it wasn't necessarily the best experience for everybody because I think the surface will still have some issues with it. I wonder if they made the Pickle Roll surface a little bit heavier, if that could help maybe prevent some of the bubbles that will occur, because on a Pickle Roll surface, there will be some bubbles in the ground. You know, if you hit the ball on one spot, it will bounce a little bit differently than if you hit it on another spot. And yeah, I guess I wanted to know what you guys think about Pickle Roll, how often you guys have played on a Pickle Roll surface. Because for me, I think it has a ton of potential. And it can be something that is very useful if you don't want to be just, you know, resurfacing courts entirely. But I wonder if there's any competitors to Pickleroll. I'd hope that Pickleroll has like a strong competitor that's producing something similar so that Pickleroll would be motivated to, you know, fix some of the issues. And maybe if there were, I don't know, I just wonder, because it is something that I think is a good opportunity. But yeah, there are some bubbles in it. Slice dinks perform better than topspin dinks, but Pickleroll for me, because I like to always hit topspin, I felt that it's not as good for my game. My best result with a Pickleroll court has only been the quarterfinals. So I'm a little biased or a little salty about it. Cause you know, we played against Mari Humberg, who slices a ton of balls. And I felt like it's, I don't want to say, you know, that's why they, but it definitely, I think helps people that slice. And that's not why we lost though. We lost because they were the better team, obviously, but I don't know. I'm salty about Pickleroll. I just want to know what you guys think about it. If I'm the only one, and if everybody else loves Pickleroll and I'm just the only one that doesn't like playing on it, then you can just tell me to shut up. What else? Another thing, people are talking about paddles and foam core paddles, you know, the all foam core paddle versus the honeycomb core paddle. And I guess I wanted to get your guys' take on it. So the recent all foam paddles that have been released, you got the Carbon True Foam, the Diadem Blue Core, and the Selkirk 008 is also all foam. There are a lot of benefits to having an all foam paddle, namely the durability, I think would be the biggest thing. All foam paddles obviously are not made with honeycomb. So if it has all foam, there are no honeycombs in the paddle. And one of the issues with honeycomb is that over time, the more that you hit the ball with honeycomb, the more that it will crush a little bit. And then it will potentially also have some issues of rattling. So if you've ever played with a pickleball paddle that's all honeycomb, if you've played with it for 6 months or so, you might do this, you might shake it, and you might hear some rattling in the honeycomb, which I'm also curious about if that's something that it would be a deterrent, like, oh, well, I don't really like this, because I've never dealt with that as a pro player. You know, you switch the paddle out after 5 or 6 days. You know, for me, I'm switching paddles out super often. I'm showing up to a tournament with 5 or 6 paddles, so I'm not really dealing with those durability concerns like other people are. So the honeycomb paddle, the honeycomb core paddle, most of them are not all honeycomb though. You know, these days the elite, so to speak, honeycomb paddles are made with a honeycomb surface or honeycomb core in the middle. And then on the outside, maybe in the top 2/3 of the paddle, there will be, you know, some fortifying foam all around it. And then some paddles will also have, you know, the honeycomb will be entirely surrounded by foam around the edges. And I guess the question is, if you have played with an all foam paddle, let me know in the comments if you feel like that's the future of paddles, if you feel like, you know, the durability of an all foam paddle maybe will be worth something that you might be giving up, which is, for me, I mean, I've always felt the feel of a honeycomb core is better than that of a foam paddle. I haven't really played with a foam paddle where I've said, okay, the feel internally is just as good as a paddle that is honeycomb and surrounded by foam on the edges. I've liked the feel of having that sort of hybrid core, in a sense where you've got honeycomb and foam in it, as opposed to an all foam core. But I guess the other thing too is, you know, the durability aspect that I don't really have to deal with or consider. If you guys feel like the durability of a foam core is super important and you really want to be able to use a paddle for a full year or maybe even 2 years, you know, there's some paddle companies that are coming out with all foam cores that are saying, yeah, we've got a year-long warranty on this thing, or even a longer warranty. We feel like the foam is going to last. There is no break-in period. But then again, you know, there are also people that like the break-in period that comes with a honeycomb paddle. There is really not going to be too much break-in with a full foam paddle, because foam is just foam. And if you look at the internal components of these foam paddles, there is no break-in, because the foam isn't the type of foam that you would think, you know, it's not the foam that was on the top of this latte. It's a very hard foam. It almost feels like a plastic, in a sense of how hard it is. And it's just, I would say that the foam itself isn't really going to break in. However you get it is how you're going to feel the same out of the box versus how it'll feel in 2 months. It might feel even just a little bit different after 2 months, but it won't feel much different. But then some people like that break in. I actually enjoy the period of break in, because a lot of these honeycomb paddles are better after they've been broken in, right? So they say, you know, I won't name any specific paddles, but if you get a honeycomb paddle right out of the box, then after 2 hours or so, it will perform a little better a lot of the times. If it does have, you know, the Gen 3 style of construction where it has the, you know, the foam around the edge, a lot of them will break in, so to speak, and then they'll be more powerful. And actually the sweet spot will be a little bit, you know, I don't want to say crushable, but a little bit softer. So yeah, I guess I'm kind of talking too much about honeycomb versus foam, but that's like the big question as it relates to paddles today is, are we going all foam in the core or are we sticking to honeycomb and then foam around the edges? So I guess just tell me what you guys think. That's all. I could talk about paddles all day. So I'll just stop here and let me know what you guys think. Honeycomb or foam. Thank you.